Well, good morning, Nelspruit Bible Church. It's wonderful and a great privilege to be with you this morning. I bring you greetings from the saints at Malalan Baptist Church. Let me just say thank you so much for praying for us. We know that you do, and the Lord is at work in our midst. I'm so blessed to be with that church body there. It's been just short of 5 months that we've been there, and we truly value your prayers. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders build in vain. So thank you for praying for me. Thank you for praying for us. I know that we also pray for you regularly, and we love you. We encourage our people to come and visit this side, and please, by all means, come and visit us there at Malalan as well. So please turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. And we'll be reading from verse 15 to 20. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Let's just come to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we thank you that we could gather this morning as your children. We thank you that we could sing your praises. Lord, you are worthy of all praise and adoration. Lord, as we turn now to your word, O Holy Spirit, we do ask that you would do what you have promised, that you would fix our gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, please, may we not just be hearers of your word, but doers. May we understand, may we apply. Lord, please speak to us now through your precious word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. What do you think should be the main focus of the church? What should be our main preoccupation? It seems like many churches today think that the church should be there to serve the community, a sort of humanitarian institution. We are called to be salt and light, right? It's a good thing, but is this our main focus? A lot of churches has turned their attention and their focus on the supernatural, a preoccupation with angels and demons, the unseen realm. Some churches are preoccupied with rituals, the bells and smells of the church, traditions of the church. Some churches are fixed on spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues, prophecies. That's their main emphasis. Some churches become so focused on preference issues that it has actually caused a division and a split in those churches. In the past, it used to be the color of the church, of the carpet in the church. And these days, it's on government protocols. Then there are those who try to be so inclusive that they have become liberal and irrelevant and just like the world. And so, what should our main focus and our preoccupation be as the church? Well, the answer to that question is that we should be focused on whatever Scripture makes the main focus. We should preoccupy ourselves with what we see God has revealed in His Word as most important. We should place first that which Scripture placed first. And my proposal to you would be that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The dominant theme of the revelation of God in Scripture is Jesus Christ. Let me read to you a couple of opening verses of some of the New Testament books. Let's see if you agree that Jesus Christ is what Scripture is all about. Matthew starts his gospel with the record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah. Mark, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Acts, the first account about all that Jesus began to do and teach. Romans, the gospel of God concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Galatians, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins. 1 Peter, He caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Revelation 1 verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole of the Old Testament foreshadowing and pointing to Jesus, and the whole of the New Testament reveals focus and is focused and is preoccupied on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is preeminent. Jesus is first. And so the preoccupation and the focus of the church should be first and foremost on Jesus Christ and the proclamation of His Word. And that is the focus of our passage that we have before us here this morning. In this passage, Paul draws our attention to the preeminence of Christ. Jesus is first in rank, in dignity, and in importance. He gives us 8 reasons why Jesus is first. 8 reasons Christ has no equal, no competitor, no rivals. One of my lecturers said, Christ is so first, there is no second. So let's look at these 8 reasons as we work our way through the text. Reason number 1, Jesus is first because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Look there in verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. We know that Scripture teaches that no one has seen God. God is invisible. 1 Timothy 1 verse 17. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God. Jesus said to the woman at the well, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. God is invisible. So how can we know God? How can we know what God is like? When we look at creation, We know that there is a God. We look up into the heavens and we see the stars and we say, surely there is a God who created all these things. Surely there's a creator. But creation don't reveal who God is. It only shouts out, there is a God. And so, if we want to know God, we need special revelation. He must reveal Himself to us. And that is what God has done in and through the Scriptures. God has revealed Himself to us through the prophets. The prophets was the one that came to the people and said, thus says the Lord. As they spoke from God, and the people would grow to understand who He is. But even so, the revelation they received was only in part. But then, God sent His Son, who came to reveal to us who He is. Hebrews 1 verse 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to us through to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Jesus is the revelation of God. The word image there in verse 15 can be translated as icon. Now, you are familiar with the little icon there on your phone or on your computer. Once you click on that icon, the whole program opens up, right? Well, this is who Jesus is. Jesus shows us the invisible God. You know the Christian hymn, Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. This, dear friends, is a glorious truth. Scripture shows us this about Jesus multiple times. Jesus is God in the flesh. The first chapter of John is, of course, full of this. John 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 18, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, He has made Him known. Or remember what Jesus said to Philip there in the upper room. Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Brothers and sisters, do you want to know what God is like? Then look to Jesus Christ. Do you want to know what God thinks of little children? Then look to Jesus Christ, who said, do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Do you want to know what God's will is for sinners under the yoke of sin? Then look to Christ who said, come to me all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Do you want to know what God thinks of religious people that merely play church? Then see how Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the religious rulers for their hypocrisy. Do you want to know how God acts towards churches that are merely after people's money with their health and wealth and prosperity nonsense? Then look to Jesus, who overthrows the money tables in the temple and says, my Father's house will be a house of prayer. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. He is the revealer of God. Hebrews 1 verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. Jesus is first because He is the image of the invisible God. Secondly, Jesus is first because He is the first in rank of all creation. Verse 15 continues, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. When we hear the word firstborn, we think of our first child, right? We think of the word in terms in chronological order. And that's the correct way of thinking about it, but in Scripture we find an additional meaning to the word firstborn. And that meaning is preeminence, of most importance, of first rank. Let me give you an example of this in Scripture. Psalm 89 verse 27. And I will make him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. So you see here that firstborn is used to describe the place of preeminence, of most exalted above all. It's not referring to the physical or literal firstborn child. And this is also the case that we have here in verse 15. When Paul says here that Jesus is firstborn of all creation, he is not suggesting that he is a created being. The Jehovah's Witnesses love to point to this verse, and they say, you see, Jesus is not God, he's created. He had a beginning. And they completely ignore the context and the rest of what Scripture teaches us about Jesus. We have to let the surrounding context of the verses determine what is the correct use of this word. When Paul refers to Christ as the firstborn of all creation, he points to Christ's supremacy, His sovereignty that extends over all things. It's the same use that we've seen there in Psalm 89. I will make Him the firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Jesus is first in rank of all creation. There is none greater, none higher, none more superior, no one that surpasses Jesus Christ. Jesus is first. Thirdly, Jesus is first because He is the creator of all things. Look there in verse 16. For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. So firstly, we see here that by or in Jesus, all things were created, in heaven and on earth. This morning, as I drove from Malalan coming through to Nelspruit, I drove through that gorge. And every time you can't help to say, wow, Lord, this is amazing. What a wonderful God and creator. It's the same thing as when we go into the Kruger, right? We see these animals. Every single time we see this massive elephant or the high-soaring vulture or the spotted leopard, we stand amazed at God's creation. Jesus is the creator of the largest elephant and the smallest little ant. He is the creator of earth. I've done some research on the NASA website to try and find out how many stars is there in the universe. Now, believe me or not, it's virtually impossible to determine this. But I found this quote eventually. And it says, in October 2016, deep field images from the Hubble telescope, Hubble Space Telescope suggested that there are about 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe, with about 100 million stars in an average galaxy. In other words, there's countless of stars. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth. And remember, I was just talking about things that is seen, the visible things. That's not even to speak of the spiritual realm. Paul says, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. We read in Revelations of the things that John saw. And it's incredible what he has seen. We see there in Revelation 4 the throne in heaven. And around the throne were the 24 thrones, and seated on these thrones were the 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. John goes on to describe these four living creatures around the throne, and they cry out day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And as they say this, those elders around the throne fall down before God and they worship. And then in Revelation 5:11, John says, "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voices of many angels, numbering myriads of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings.'" Brothers and sisters, myriads upon myriads, thousands upon thousands of angels falling down before Jesus Christ. And Jesus created them all. They all were created through him and for him. He is the owner of them all. They belong to him. They all were created by him. He is the heir of all things. Hebrews 1 verse 2. "But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world." How big is the Jesus that you serve? The commentator Vaughan says, "Whatever supernatural powers there may be, Christ is the one who made them and he is their Lord." Christ is first and foremost. His supremacy is absolute and universal. Fourthly, Jesus is first because he is the eternally existing one. Verse 17 continues, "And he is before all things." I don't know if you ever think of eternity. One fact about eternity is that it is eternal, right? Time without end. After 1,000 years, there's going to be still another 1,000 years until you get to a million years. And then it's as if you've never started, right? Because then there's still going to be another million years and another million years. And it just goes on and on and on. But eternity is connected to time. And time only came into existence the first day of creation. So before that first day, before that moment when God said, "Let there be light," you only had the eternally existent triune God outside of time. Now, this is too high for my mind to grasp. We can't think outside of the realm of time. But before time, before creation, before all things, Jesus was. We see all three of the members of the Trinity in the opening lines of Scripture. Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over all the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God spoke, the Word of God, speaking all things into existence. Jesus Christ, the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus is the eternally existing One. Not only is Jesus first because He is before all things, but fifthly, Jesus is first because He is the sustainer of all things. Verse 17 continues and says, "And in Him all things hold together." Now, what I know about physics is scary. So when I found out in Standard 7, I don't have to continue with science in Standard 8. It was there and then that I stopped studying for the exams, with the result that I almost failed the year. But so I am clueless when it comes to atoms and laws of physics and so on. But according to this verse, we learn that not only is Jesus the creator of all things, but He is also the sustainer of creation. He is the reason all things continue to exist. With His power, He holds each electron, each atom, each molecule in its rightful place. The law of gravity holds true because Jesus holds all things together. Each planet stays in their orbit by the command of Jesus Christ. The sun rose in the east this morning and will set in the west tonight because Jesus is seated on His throne and He directs all things. Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, "He upholds the universe by the power, by the word of His power." God did not simply take the world and wind it up like a clock and just put it there left to untick. He is intimately involved in sustaining it moment by moment. Your very next breath is possible because Jesus sustains the universe. Jesus is the sustainer. In Him, all things hold together. Thus far, we have seen the preeminence of Christ in creation. Jesus is first in relation to creation. There is none higher, none greater, no one more stronger than Jesus Christ. By Him, through Him, and for Him, all things were created. He is the creator of all things, and He is the sustainer of all things. Jesus is first in creation. But now Paul continues and he shows that not only is he first in creation, but Christ is also first in the church. Look there in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. Our sixth reason why Jesus is first is because Jesus is the head of the body. Paul writes the same thing in Ephesians. You can turn over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. Paul writes, and he says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." Now, we all know the importance of the head. You can maybe get by if you lose an arm or a leg, but if you lose your head, it's game over, right? The body receives its instructions from the head. It's the mission control center. In the same way, Jesus is preeminent in the church. The church submits to Christ in all things. We obey Christ as our leader, our husband, our head. His word is our rule. Obedience to him is our highest duty and honor. Christ is the head of the body, the church. Now, at this point, I want to highlight something very important. Why do you think Paul had just described the preeminence of Christ over creation? Why does he now turn to Christ's preeminence over the church? You would think in verse 18, it would rather say something like, "And he is the head over all the universe." Or, "He is the head of the totality of all things." That seems to be more of a fitting thing to say to describe Christ's relationship to all things. But that's not what Paul says, right? Rather, he says, "He is the head of the body, the church." So why this shift in focus? Why turn from creation to church? And the answer is because the church is God's new creation. God has done something completely new. When Jesus died and rose again, he instituted a new order. He is the head of that new creation, the church. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. You see, previously in chapter 1, Paul said that we have been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. We have been redeemed and we have received the forgiveness of sin. Now, these things ought to tell you something. It tells us, for one, that something went wrong in that first creation. The domain of darkness entered. Rebellion exists. And so, while Christ is supreme over all, even though he is the creator and sustainer of all things, he is not now the head of all things as he ought to be. All powers do not presently recognize him as preeminent. There is still sin, still darkness and death and rebellion that resist his rule. But that will change. And that change started when Christ rose victoriously from the grave. And that leads us to the seventh truth. Jesus is first because he is the beginning. Look there in your text, second half of verse 18. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Just as Jesus was before all things in creation, just as by him all things were created, so too Jesus is the beginning, the start, the first of this new creation, the church. He is the firstborn from the dead. Jesus is the first person to rise from the dead, never to die again. There were others in the past that were raised from the dead. Lazarus, Talitha, the widow's son in Elijah's day. But they all died again. Jesus rose, never to die again. And all those who belong to him will likewise be raised from the dead unto everlasting life. But Jesus is the beginning. He is the first. And what is the result? What is the purpose of his resurrection? Verse 18 continues, that in everything he might be preeminent. That in everything he might be first. Not only is Jesus first in the first creation, as we have seen, but he is also first in the new creation, the church. In everything, Jesus is preeminent. The one commentator says, by his resurrection from the dead, he is the new beginning. And the purpose of this new beginning is that he will become what he in fact is, first in every sense. The time is coming that not only the church will acknowledge the headship of Jesus Christ, but every single sinner, every single obstinate ruler, whether on earth, in the heavens, in the pit of hell, all and everyone will acknowledge the headship of Jesus Christ. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. That, dear brothers and sisters, is where all of history is moving towards. Number 8. Jesus is first because he is the fullness of God. Paul says in verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. The NIV translation has it as, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Quickly turn over to Colossians 2 verse 9. Where Paul says something similar. He says, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. We are back to what Paul said in verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. When you look at Jesus, you are seeing God manifested in flesh and blood. All God's glory and wisdom and goodness, all the fullness of God's grace, all the fullness of God's power and purposes are revealed in Jesus Christ. The final reason that Paul gives us here why Jesus is first is because he is the reconciler of all things. Number 9, Jesus is the reconciler of all things. Verse 20 says, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven. To reconcile is to restore friendly relations between two parties. It is to put someone or something back in their proper place. Through Jesus, we who were once estranged and alienated from God because of our sins, we have now been restored back to our proper relationship as children of God. No longer are there hostility between heaven and earth, between God and us, but now we are reconciled. There is peace. Our sins have been dealt with. And that is what Paul continues to say in the end of verse 20, making peace by the blood of his cross. Brothers and sisters, this is a glorious message. This is the message of the gospel. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, we are forgiven of all our sins, past, present, and future. God has dealt with the punishment. Reconciliation between heaven and earth has been accomplished. Praise the Lord. We have peace with God Most High by the blood of His cross. We have seen that Jesus is first in creation, and we have seen that He is first in the church. All things were created by Him and through Him and for Him. Jesus is first because He is the image of God, the first in rank, the creator of all things, the eternal existing one, the sustainer of creation, the head of the church, the beginning, the fullness of God, and the reconciler of all things. Jesus is first. Perhaps it is appropriate to end by asking you this question. Which place does Jesus occupy in your life? Does He have first place in your family? Does He have first place in your marriage? Does He have first place in your work? Does He have first place in your time, in your conversations, in your pleasure, in your eating and drinking, in your play, in what you watch, in what you listen to, in what you love, in your worship? Does He have first place in your heart? Brothers and sisters, let us give Jesus first place in our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise and magnify Your name this morning. Lord, You are first. You are preeminent. Oh Lord, we have only begun to scratch the surface. Oh Lord, thank You that You are preeminent. You are supreme over all. You are God of very God. We worship You, Lord. Thank You for saving us. Thank You, Lord, that we might belong to You. Thank You that we can be part of Your new creation, the church. Thank You that You are the head of the body, the church. Oh Lord, we magnify You today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.